Good to be back with everybody this morning. I'm going to be over in Exodus, the 34th chapter. I'll just turn over there for you and care. I'm going to start with the first verse. But I want you to look to the person to your right. Look to the person to your left. Now I want you to look behind you, look in front of you. Now, I want you to point to the biggest sinner you see. Go ahead, point them fingers. It's all right. You see? Do you see a big scoundrel? Well, of course, you're not going to do that because you don't know the identity of the person really behind you, in front of you. You don't know what's in their heart, right? You don't know what's going on in there. And I want to talk about true identity this morning, and that's what I'm getting at. That's the point I'm trying to make. And I want to talk about the true identity of God. It's really what I want to get to. As we get into the scripture, I'll read scripture in a little bit, but you know, identity theft has become one of the most rapid crimes in America today. It's occurring at an unprecedented rate. That's what's happening. You know what? You remember the story about Target here just recently, where 110 million people had their data, the data breached, and there was 110 million people that had their identity either looked at, maybe stolen. This has just happened here recently. And also, I see what got me thinking about this most was here recently I seen a story, they even showed a video of when you go to an ATM, the thieves now, what they'll do, they'll put little cameras on the ATMs, which you can't even tell because they're not part of the ATMs unless you know what the ATM is, what's on that thing. They showed these two guys, they arrested them finally, but they showed them what they had done. They'd put this little camera on the ATM. Whenever the person went up to the ATM, swiped their card, they watched them punch the number. And as soon as they left, they would take and go over and take the camera off of there. And that's how they were doing it. Well, anyway, they caught them and got that taken care of. But anyway, this is happening at an unprecedented rate. And I read the story of a Chicago woman that had her identity stolen, and they didn't find out until she got a letter in the mail thanking her for buying a new car, which she never purchased. So this kind of stuff is happening almost all the time. And the majority of these cases are being solved. And I'll get to the point of my sermon here a little bit. Like 60% of them are being solved. But that leaves 40% of them. What's going on is the affected parties are left to deal with the bills and are left to deal with their ruined credit. That's 40% of the people. And that's terrible. That is terrible. But as bad as you think that is, there's something even worse. And that's the point of my sermon. That's when someone has the nerve to steal God's identity. That's when someone has the nerve to do that. And it's happening. You would think who'd be willing to assume God's identity. You know, yet when we look around, there are those who are misrepresenting God almost on a weekly, almost on a daily basis. That's what they are. You don't look now, but somebody has stolen God's identity, Greg. They have done that. And I see it all the time. They have stolen his identity and replaced it with a prosperity God. They have done that. You know, and where their chief concern is, and you know, thankful for the lesson this morning, where their chief concern is the money and wealth and health. That's what they try to preach. That's what they try to teach. They have stolen his identity and replaced it with universalism. And that's where they'll say, you know what? Everybody can be saved. Everybody's saved. All roads lead to heaven. That's what they try to tell us. That's what they try to preach. They have stolen his identity and replaced it with a fast food God. You know how the old Burger King ad used to say, have it your way? That's what they replaced it with a lot of times. That's what they've done. They've taken the God that we serve and replaced it and stole his identity and done that with it also. Redefining sin as a lifestyle is what they say. Elevating the lifestyle in the expense of holiness. And we see that almost all the time nowadays. We can see it all the time. And there are those who have stolen his identity and replaced it with a legalistic God. That's where the do's and don'ts, they have a list of do's, they have a list of don'ts. Let me tell you something here this morning, and I praise God for this. I'm thankful that what gets me saved is not what I do and not what I don't do, but it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that come into my heart. Oh, I understand that, you know, whenever I get saved, there's things that I need to do. There's things that I don't need to do anymore. And you know what? God has taken that stuff from me. But I'm just telling you this morning, don't listen to those people that try to put upon you this legalistic God that says, you know what, if you don't do this, you're fine, and if you do this, you're fine. Because you know what? They've taken the blood of Jesus Christ out of them. That's what they've done. And you know, if you keep the list, you're good. Rather than serving God, they want a designer God's what they want. That's what they're wanting, Dale. They're wanting a designer God. You know, the parts that you like, you'll keep, and the parts that you don't like, you keep. I say this quite often. If you take the Word of God, you know, there's a lot of people that would like to take the Word of God and tear out what they don't like, and just keep the parts that they do in God's Word. And you know what? You're not going to have a Bible that's going to get you to heaven. You may have a Bible that you might think you can live with down here on this earth, but it's not going to get you to heaven. So this morning I would like for us to look into the Word of God, and I would like to talk about the true identity of the God that we serve. I don't know, these people tried to steal, but we're going to figure it out here this morning. Let's turn to Exodus 34, starting with verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew ye out two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up into the morning into Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen thereout all the mounts, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount. And he hewed two tables of stone, like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And this is what I want to get you to concentrate on these next few verses. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity for transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us for thine inheritance. Let us pray. Fathers, we come, Lord, this morning. Father, we come here, Father, seeking to know the true identity that some have taken away from you, Father. And Father, we know it's there. We know your word says it's there. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that as we go about this message today, that our hearts will be open, our minds will be open to see that, you know what, there is one true God. And Father, we give you the praise for that God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. The identity that ought to shape my preaching, that ought to shape yours and mine daily walk, I'm going to tell you something, our Christianity, my preaching should not be shaped what's in style right now, or what draws a crowd in. That's not what my preaching, that's not what your Christianity should be based on this morning. It should not be based on that, but that by the true identity of God that I read to you here this morning. That's what it should all be based on, folks. And you know what? I praise God this morning. He's given us the first and the last of His name. If you look at that right there, and I want to say this right now, if God was to have a birth certificate, right here it is. Can I say that? Right here it is. When He said, the Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed the Lord God. Look, pray God. He proclaimed the name of the Lord. He said there was one God, filled out His own birth certificate. He said that right there. He said, and described to Moses who He really was. And I want to tell you something this morning, brothers and sisters. With Him doing that right there, He described to me and you exactly who He was right there in those verses of Scripture right there. Look at verses 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and mercy, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, and to the third and to the fourth generation. Folks, whenever He says He's the Lord God, He's saying Yahweh Eli. That's what He's saying whenever He's talking about the Lord God. You'll find that no place else in the Bible except right there. And that's in the original text. And you know what he's trying to tell us is? He's trying to tell us simply that his name is the Lord. That's what he's trying to say. I am that I am. That's what he told Moses earlier. He said, that is the Lord. Folks, he's the one true God. Don't let people take his identity and make it into anything else. The God of the Bible, right here, of Exodus 34 and 6 is telling us, he said, I am the Lord. There is none other, is what he's trying to say. There's none other. He's a great I am. He's the great creator. Psalms 104:24 tells us, O Lord, how manifold are thy works in wisdom. Has thou made them all? The earth is full of thy riches. He goes on to say, the Lord God is merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. God himself tells us in this verses that he's a merciful and compassionate and gracious God. That's what he's trying to tell us right here. Don't let him tell you any difference. That's what he is. The meaning of the image of this is like a mother would hold her children. That's what the meaning of this verse is of Scripture right here. As she feeds them, as she teaches them, as she tucks them in at night, as she nurses them when they're sick, and you know what? The one true God loves and cares for us, even though we are weak, even though we are unable to care for ourselves. That God that we see right there is able and willing to try to take care of us. Amen? 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, we are weak, but ye are strong. Amen. That's the God we serve. God's telling us he is a compassionate and gracious God. What a picture of God that presents, does it not? Whenever we cannot take care of the situations in our life, whenever we feel we cannot take another step, guess who's there? Guess who's gracious? Guess who's compassionate upon each and every one of us for what we do in our life and what's going on? That's that God we serve right there. There are people out there that try to make it out like it. I had talking to somebody the other day, and they tried to tell me, well, that God back in the old Bible, he was a mean God. No, he wasn't. He was a God that wanted done what he wanted done, and whenever nobody would do it, then they found that's the reason we have the trouble today. May I say that? If things would have been taken care of the way God wanted it to back then, there would not have been near the trouble that there is today with this foreign stuff that's going on and the wars and all the stuff going on over in the world today. It would not have been because God wanted it taken care of that way. What a picture of God. He is a loving God. He is a compassionate God. The one who created all that we see, not only the earth, but every star, every planet we see, yet he still watches over us. He still tries to take care of us. And we believe that God, and people still believe that God don't care. I believe God cares immensely. The enemy will cause you to question God. Can I say that? When sickness and cancer strikes, when drug and alcohol abuse hit your house, When divorce comes calling to your house, when all these things happen, you know what? When family tells those identity thieves this, you can point this to them in 1 Peter. It says, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. When all these things come knocking upon our family door, we've got to remember God still cares. God still loves. Don't let those people try to turn us around and say, well, you know, where's your God at now? Why does God not care whenever things are going wrong in your life right now? I'm telling you, he's there. It also tells us he's long-suffering. That's what the next verse is. And look at how those people were back then, right? That's the first thing that comes out of some people's mouths. You know what? Yeah, they made a false god of golden calf. They complained when things weren't just like they wanted them. Remember how the children of Israel did? They were ready to go back into slavery when they were just brought out of. They were ready to do that. What does that remind us of today? That doesn't remind us of anything in this world today, does it? Not at all. It doesn't remind us, right? I think it does. Yes, God was still in long-suffering today as he was then. He's still long-suffering. And for you know what? And I, for one, am thankful that he is that way, Greg. I, for one, am thankful that he's long-suffering. I wonder sometimes if he ever sorry he made mankind like he said he did right before Noah got on the ark. Remember whenever he said that, he said it hurt him. He said he regretted making mankind. Why? Because of the sin that was in the world. And I look around me today, and I wonder if he regrets it. You know, like he did in Genesis 6:6 when he said this, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him that at his heart. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe there's another verse of Scripture in Peter, and I read this here the other day, and it said this. It was talking about Noah going onto the ark. And more or less what it's saying was, he said, it took all them years for him to build that ark. Remember? And he said God was long-suffering during that whole time. And he said he was wanting even more than what did to be saved. But you know what happened? He said, but only eight made it. Because he was long-suffering. He was willing. It just didn't happen. This is God's true identity. Not one there waiting, watching. And you know what? Trying to, whenever we do something wrong, he's trying to say, well, we're going to wipe him out. There are some people that kind of believe that way. You know what? God's watching down and just going to wipe people out just as soon as they do something wrong. His abundance in goodness and in truth. Look around. Look around us. Look up Psalms 35:5. It tells us this. The earth is full of God's goodness. The earth is full of God's goodness. It is. And you know what? I am thankful for that. I am thankful for it is. I know many that may be thinking there's not much good in the world today. All the wars, all the crimes, all the things that's going on, just all the evil. And you're right. This world is full of a lot of desperate things and things that are despicable, right? These are just signs of the last times, and we all know that. That's what they are. They're just signs of the last time. But if you just look through it all, the earth is still full of God's goodness. Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. Blessed is a man. God's truth, you can stand on his word until the day that you die. He is full of truth. He is full of it. Hebrews 6:18 tells us it was impossible for God to lie. If I read his word and I believe that his word is the word of the living God, I believe this Bible is that, I'm going to tell you what, it's impossible for God to lie. And if you believe that, we can stand upon his holy word. We can do that. With all the false statements being made about our God out there today, we can show them Romans 3:4 whenever it tells us, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but let every man be a liar. Amen. Amen. God be true. It is written, that thou mayest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. He's also forgiving. Just look at verse 7 where it says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. The word forgive means to lift up. It means to carry. It means to take away the burdens. That's what forgiving's about. His forgiveness can be seen in us, can it not? It can be seen in you. It can be seen in me. His forgiveness can be seen. The reason I stand before you this morning, the reason I preach, is because of what the true identity of God is. Because God is a forgiving God. You're looking at a person that did not deserve to be forgiven. I'm telling you. And if you're honest with yourself, you can say the same thing. You do not deserve to be forgiven. But God looked beyond all that. He looked over all of it. It's because God has forgiven me. Amen. My thoughts, my actions, my habits, my struggles, my weaknesses, my prides, my lust. I'm talking about myself, okay? God has looked down upon me. My attitudes can be terrible sometimes. I'll just be quite honest with you. I can look this morning and say, I need help. I need help. I need it. Even on my best days, I'm still so far off God's standards, it cannot be. You cannot realize that. Well, Dave, you're the preacher. Hey, I don't care what I am. I'm still just a man and I'm a Christian. You know what? Even at my best, I'm not no ways near what God has standard after. You know what? Thank God he's a forgiving God. Thank God he is a forgiving God. And you can say the same thing. He has lifted me. He is lifting me now. And I'll tell you what, he will lift me in the future. If I am willing to let him lift me up. And realize and let him understand that I can't do this on my own. I cannot do none of this. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You know what that is, don't you? That's his son, Jesus Christ. The text reveals that his identity, his nature, is to forgive. That's what God's identity is. But it also reveals that it is also his identity. What happens if you do not repent? God will not leave the guilty go unpunished. That's just not the way it is. It is a perfect balance. It's what it is. God has given us a perfect balance. You know what? He extends forgiveness and He has punishment for those who do not, who will not repent. He has punishment. Many today who have had their identity stolen, and in order to get their credit, get their credit restored, you know what they got to do? They have to go to the police in person. You can't send your wife. You can't send a representative. You cannot just mail in the forms. You have to go and you have to appear in person. You know what? To reclaim their debt. Well, 2,000 years ago, I want to tell you this right now. I want to tell you, you know what? After his identity had been stolen by, you know, down through the years, you know what? On one too many occasions, God came to earth to do what? To restore his identity. Amen? He had to show up in person. He said, enough is enough. He said, it's no more of this stuff. You know what? He couldn't send someone else. He tried that. What did he do? He sent his prophets, and what did they do to that? What did they do to the prophets? You know what happened? You know what? A priest couldn't do it. These priests became corrupt. Just like today, there's many a preacher, many ones that's been sent here to do the work. You know what? They have become corrupt. He couldn't do that. He couldn't trust that. He couldn't do an earthly king. The angels could not do it. Amen? They couldn't even do it. He decided to come as himself. Amen? Amen? In the form of Jesus Christ. God came to restore his identity, and he did that. You know what? Jesus, born in the town of Bethlehem, born of a Virgin Mary. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus, who started his ministry around 30 years old, who started that ministry. Praise God for that. You know what? You know, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. Because you know what? God could not trust anybody else to come down here to restore his identity except himself. Amen? And God came in the form of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something this morning. You know what? You know what they did to him? He come down here and they decided, you know what? They didn't like what he had to say. And you know the story. They crucified him. They put him in a grave. But praise God, I want to tell you something. He rose the third day. He didn't stay there because you know why? He came to restore his identity. And praise God, he did it. He did it. I tell you what, Jesus Christ, the one, our God, the one whose feet and hands were pierced, the one who suffered everything for you and I, he came so you and I, you know what? He could get his identity back. And guess what? In him doing that, I want to ask you a very serious question this morning. Who do you identify yourself with this morning? Who do you identify? What's your identity this morning? God's Son, Jesus Christ, died upon the cross that you can have a relationship with the true and living God. Amen? I want to ask you something this morning. Is Jesus your guy? I told this Wednesday night. Me and Tink and had went to her brother's house, and they had a lady over, and they were taking care of some stuff there at the house. And this lady was a Christian woman, and she go, we got to talking about, you know, about church and stuff like that. And she got up to leave, and she had this big smile back on her face, and she just turned around and looked at us, and she said, Jesus is my guy. You know that? And then she said, Jesus is my guy. And she had this big smile on her face, and you know, and praise God, Jesus is her guy. I want to ask you something this morning. Is he your guy this morning? Is he you? Is he you the one this morning? Is he the one this morning that you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have him in your heart and that you know what? Nothing else in this world matters except him. Can you say that? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you put Jesus first, he takes care of all the rest of these things in your life. He does. I've seen it happen in marriages. I've seen it happen in families. I've seen it happen time after time after time again. That's why I preach the way that I do. That's why I tell you, because I'm not saying it because I don't know. I know. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. But you know what? We've got to be willing to give him it all. Not just part of it. Not just a part of you. He wants every bit of you. He wants all your identity. He wants it all. And when you do that, I want to tell you something here this morning. I will tell you. And I say this without backing down, without
apologizing one bit. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, He will go with you to the very end. He will do that. If you're willing to hang on to Him, He will go with you to the very end. On your deathbed, He will help you cross Jordan River. He'll be there to greet you. He'll be there to meet you. And folks, what better promise could we have? What better promise could you and I have? Praise God this morning. I love. Yes, Jesus is my guy too. Say, come and get a song.